Amen. Thank you, ladies. I appreciate that.
What a great song. Morning has come. And thank you, Cameron Weber, for that. And if you would like to have lessons, Dan is giving this, and so you can check with him. Is that right, Dan?
Absolutely.
Okay. Sure. All right. Well, that's fantastic. Well, let's take the Word of God tonight, and let's go to the Gospel according to Luke. Luke chapter number 24. And tonight I want to do something a little different. I know that we have been in the book of Colossians, but tonight, for the sake of this special day that we celebrate, Resurrection Sunday, I wanted to go back once again and look tonight back to the resurrection. And I want us to notice some things here this evening in Luke chapter 24. We come to verse number 1. This is my favorite story around the resurrection of our Savior. We know that the Bible says that Jesus, after he rose from the grave, was seen of many people, of hundreds. But this is one of the stories that God can use in our life. I think it's so precious. Luke 24, and if you would bear with me tonight, we're going to read a good lengthy part of Scripture. But let's look in at what God has for us tonight. Luke chapter 24 and verse number 1. Now upon the first day of the week, very early in the morning, they came into the sepulchre, bringing the spices which they had prepared, and certain others with them. And they found the stone rolled away from the sepulchre, and they entered in and found not the body of the Lord Jesus. And it came to pass, as they were much perplexed thereabout, behold, two men stood by them in shining garments. And as they were afraid and bowed down their faces to the earth, they said unto them, Why seek ye the living among the dead? He is not here, but is risen. Remember how he spake unto you when he was yet in Galilee, saying, The Son of Man must be delivered into the hands of sinful men and be crucified, and the third day rise again. And they remembered his words, and returned from the sepulchre, and told all these things unto the 11 and to all the rest. It was Mary Magdalene and Joanna, and Mary the mother of James, and other women that were with him, which told these things unto the apostles. And their words seemed to them as idle tales, and they believed them not. Then arose Peter, and ran into the sepulchre, and stooping down, he beheld the linen clothes laid by themselves, and departed, wondering in himself at that which was come to pass. And behold, two of them went that same day to a village called Emmaus, which was from Jerusalem about 60 furlongs. And they talked together of all these things which had happened. And it came to pass that while they communed together and reasoned, Jesus himself drew near and went with them. But their eyes were holden, that they should not know him. And he said unto them, What manner of communications are these that ye have one to another, as ye walk and are sad? And the one of them, whose name was Cleopas, answering, said unto him, Art thou only a stranger in Jerusalem, and hast not known the things which are come to pass there in these days? And he said unto them, What things? And they said unto him, Concerning Jesus of Nazareth, which was a prophet, mighty in deed and word before God and all the people, and how the chief priests and our rulers delivered him to be condemned to death and have crucified him. But we trusted that it had been he which should have redeemed Israel. And beside all this, today is the third day since these things were done. Yea, and certain women also of our company made us astonished, which were early at the sepulchre. And when they found not his body, they came, saying that they had also seen a vision of angels, which said that he was alive. And certain of them which were with us went to the sepulchre, and found it even so as the women had said, but him they saw not. Then he said unto them, O fools, and slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have spoken. Ought not Christ to have suffered these things, and to enter into his glory? And beginning at Moses and all the prophets, he expounded unto them in all the scriptures the things concerning himself. And they drew nigh into the village whither they went. And he made as though he would have gone further. But they constrained him, saying, Abide with us, for it is toward evening, and the day is far spent. And he went in to tarry with them. And it came to pass, as he set at meat with them, he took bread and blessed it and brake and gave to them. And their eyes were opened, and they knew him, and he vanished out of their sight. And they said one to another, Did not our heart burn within us while he talked with us by the way, and while he opened to us the scriptures? And they rose up the same hour and returned to Jerusalem and found the 11 gathered together and them that were with them, saying, The Lord is risen indeed and hath appeared to Simon. I'm going to tell you this. I think that this is one of the most precious scenes that we see in the Word of God. Can you imagine these two men as they are walking along the way? Very common, ordinary men. Men that, in fact, the Bible just gives us one of the names of these, Cleopas. We don't know much about these men. But in a moment, these men are talking among themselves, and they were talking, and I don't know their conversations, but God gives us a little insight to what they were saying. No doubt they were troubled. No doubt they were bothered. No doubt they'd had their hopes in this Jesus of Nazareth, and now he's dead. The one who could raise a man from the dead is hung on a cross and died. The one who had all power allowed men to take him and to crucify him. They're troubled, and they're walking about, and their communications are sad. And in a moment, Jesus shows up. Can you imagine? The Bible says their eyes were not opened, meaning the God did not allow them to know it was Jesus in the first moment. And as Jesus is speaking with them, brethren, tonight I want to preach to you on this subject. Remember the resurrection. Is it not too often that we forget the things that God wants us to remember? You know, sometimes we come to Christmas time and we talk about the birth of our Savior, and rightly so, but we should think about His birth all the time. When we think about the resurrection, it should not just be on what we call Resurrection Sunday. And by the way, you know, a lot of things that we talk about are simply by tradition. And brethren, by the way, Good Friday is really, I don't like to refer to it as Good Friday because that's what the Catholic Church referred it to. And brethren, the Lord Jesus, we understand, if we understand Scripture, would have to have been crucified on a Wednesday. And he rose again on the first day of the week, if you take 3 days and three nights. So really, when we talk about Good Friday and we sing lots of songs, it's Friday but Sunday's coming. Well, really, there's not a whole lot of validity to that. But when we think about the resurrection, it should not be something that we just think about just one time of the year or one season. The resurrection is what we as God's people, our whole belief system is rested on the resurrection of Jesus Christ. In fact, I remember the story, and maybe some of you were not here to hear my famous mother-in-law joke this morning, you know. And I had a lady tell me afterwards, she said, Pastor, that was the best joke you've told. You cannot tell a better joke than that. And that was a lady who told me that, you know. You know, I thought that was pretty good, you know. But anyway, remember the story about a boy and his dad. He's just a young boy, and he was in the car, and they were driving by a graveyard. And he's seen where a freshly dug grave had been dug, and the dirt was piled up there. And the boy didn't understand what that was. He said, Look, Dad, one got out, you know. And, one did not get out. But I will tell you this, on the third day, Jesus did come forth from the grave. No man could hold him in that grave. We need to remember the resurrection. And what does God have for us here? I want to give you a few simple thoughts tonight. I pray that God will help us. And I know it's the Sunday night of Easter service, and a lot of people had to travel, go with families and all of that. But I'm thankful that you're here. And I believe that God wants to speak to our hearts. You know, sometimes it's in the unusual times when the Lord deals with us in a special way. I remember at Temple Baptist Church years ago, we had an old snowy Sunday morning. And you know what it's like for snow in the South? It is like catastrophe, you know? I mean, it's funny. You will hear men, radio announcers, like, it is treacherous out there. You know, there's a half an inch of snow out there, you know. And it's treacherous driving. Be safe. Be careful, you know. Well, I'm going to tell you something. In my family, my dad was not a true Southerner in the sense. When it snowed, that was the time to get out and see if we could slide around, you know. And we always went to Waffle House because Waffle House was always open, you know, no matter what. I don't think they ever closed, you know. And so that was kind of the way it was. But I remember years ago back at Temple Baptist Church, I was just a kid. It was an old snowy morning. We got there that day because my dad. And but I remember there was hardly anybody in that big auditorium. It was the old auditorium, which many people have not seen. But not hardly anybody was there. But a man came in. A man came in because his car got stranded that morning right on Beaver Creek Road. He didn't have anywhere to go. It was cold outside, so he came to church. Well, I remember that morning the gospel was given, and that man came to know Jesus Christ as his Savior. And I thought to myself, you know, God uses unusual circumstances to speak to our hearts and to deal with us. Now, in this passage tonight, let us remember the resurrection. Number one, I want you to notice the condition of these men. Now, let me ask you your condition tonight. Let me ask you my condition tonight. Where are we at? Are we just like these men? Let's find out something about these men. Notice back in verse number 14, Luke chapter 24, the Bible says, "And they talked together of these things which had happened." They're talking back and forth. Look in verse number 17. "And he said unto them, What manner of communications are these that ye have one to another as ye walk and are sad?" Now, I want you to notice that the condition of these men's, their hopes were buried in that tomb. Do you know that many of the disciples, and these men included, the Bible says in verse 21, what were they hoping? Here's what they said. "But we trusted that it had been he which should have redeemed Israel. And beside all this, today is the third day since these things were done." You know what they're saying? "We thought that he was the Messiah. We thought he was going to come and set up his earthly reign here. He was going to deliver us from Roman oppression. He was going to be our Redeemer. We thought that. And we heard that on the third day he was going to rise again. And now we don't even know if that's true." Do you see where these men are? The condition of these men is they're faithless. These men are walking. The Bible says they are sad. They are not believing God. They are not trusting in God. And in fact, what does the Lord say to them? Notice what the Bible says in verse 25. "Then he said unto them, O fools, and slow of heart to believe." Can I say this to you tonight? If we were honest, I would have to put myself there, and we'd all have to put ourselves there. Are we not slow to believe the promises of God? Are we not slow to believe? You see, sometimes this happens to us. Sometimes I am just like those two men walking on that road to Emmaus. I'm walking and I'm sad. And I'm talking and I'm sad. Because we're not trusting in God. Because things didn't turn out like we hoped they would have turned out. Our plans, our dreams have been dashed and had been destroyed. And the condition of our lives is not good. And the Lord has to reprove me, and he has to reprove all of us at times when he says, "Oh, you're foolish to be so slow of heart." And notice what the Lord did. He talked to them about their manner of communications. Look back in verse number 17. "And he said unto them, What manner of communications are these?" Can I ask you something? How's your communication tonight? What do you talk about? Do you know that out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh? Do you know, I believe I can be around someone for at least a half an hour, an hour, and I'll find out what's in their heart because they'll talk about it. You don't have to ask them about that. I remember right after my wife and I, the Lord blessed us with the birth of our first child, our daughter. I remember standing in the grocery store line. And you know how it is, you always get in the line that's the slowest line there, you know. That's the line I get in, you know. And I'm standing there, but that day I've got a spring in my step because we just brought our little baby girl home from the hospital. And I'm standing there in line. And, you know, usually you're supposed to, like, be polite and, you know, kind of mind your own business and all that. But that day I wasn't that way. The person behind me, I said, "Hey, just had a baby, brought it home from the hospital. I mean, not me, but my wife had a baby, you know. And I'm talking a little bit to them, and boy, I'm excited. I've already got pictures, and I'm showing pictures of these people. Boy, I'm excited about this. You know why? It's in my heart. I remember when I came here to be the pastor, and man, I was so excited about that. Hearing people call me pastor, man, that was just great, you know. I wanted to talk to people so they'd call me pastor, you know, because I just liked it so much. I still haven't gotten over it, you know. It's something special to me. It's in my heart for that. And look here, what is in our heart comes out. It comes out, and here are these men. They're depressed. They're down. Their hopes have dashed. They have trusted in the Lord, and now what happened to him? We had hoped, and now they crucified him and put him in a borrowed tomb, and they said he was going to rise again, but here's the third day, and nothing has happened. Brother, may I remind us of something? If we lose sight of a risen Savior, if we forget the resurrection of Jesus Christ, we are sure to get occupied with the things of this world. We get occupied with our own selves, and we lose sight of what God wants us to remember. Brother, may God help us to remember the resurrection. When we are down, when we are discouraged, let us occupy our minds that Jesus Christ died, but He rose again from the grave. And because of the resurrected Savior, that's my Savior tonight. That is your Savior tonight. And brethren, the resurrection changes everything. It makes the difference in all of our lives. You see, they lost their confidence not in Jesus, but they lost their confidence in His ability. You know, I think many of us tonight, we have drawn a line in the sand, per se, and we think that God is able to do a certain amount of things, but over here, we just don't think that God can really do that. Now, we don't say that with our minds or hearts, but we believe it. And here are these men, they have lost confidence in God's ability, and now they are in a cold, dark place. They're walking, there's no spring in their step, they have become discouraged and down. I wonder, is Christ so very real to you and me that there is joy in our heart? Can I ask you something tonight? Is the Lord real to you? See, what happened later on, we found that here are these men walking, and they are talking among themselves. They are down. They are sad. But when Jesus shows up, it changes everything about them. You see, the condition of these men, they felt defeated in their hearts because they did not see God's purpose in the world. And by the way, you know that the Lord dealt with these men. Number two, I also want you to notice not only the condition of these men, but I want you to notice the comfort of the risen Savior. What did Jesus do to comfort them? I wonder, are there people here tonight that in the private, secret place of our heart, we are so discouraged? Maybe we think that God has failed us. Maybe we think that we trusted in God to do something in our lives and it did not happen the way we thought it should have happened. Have you ever had a hope? And by the way, the Bible says, hope deferred maketh the heart sick. Have you ever prayed something before and it didn't turn out that way? You became sick in your heart? You became so discouraged? That's where these men are. That's the condition of these men. But the Lord Jesus brings comfort to them. Notice, we find the comfort of the risen Savior. What did Jesus do to comfort these men? I'll tell you first, He comforted them by His presence. Do you know that there is no comfort in the world like the presence, like the comfort of the presence of Jesus Christ? You see, the Bible says, notice what it says there, He talked with them, by the way. Can you imagine walking on this road and all of a sudden Jesus shows up? They think it's a stranger. In fact, they ask Him, don't you know what's been going on? Don't you understand? I mean, here's Jesus Christ, the one who was crucified, the one who is risen again. But the Bible says that they said, notice what it is. Let's go back, and I want you to notice something here in verse number 32. And they said one to another, did not our heart burn within us while He talked with us? By the way, And while he opened to us the scriptures, I love that little phrase. Here we see the risen Savior as our companion. Here we see the risen Savior not distant, not uncaring. The resurrection did not change his sympathy. The resurrection did not change his care and compassion. But we see the resurrected Savior ministering to these men. And by the way, the Lord is no respecter of persons. To me, that's one of the most wonderful phrases in the Bible. You know why? Because I would think, Jesus, your disciples, those are really your close people. But Jesus didn't really go to them first. In fact, here are these common, ordinary men. We don't know much about these men. Probably just common men in the town. And Jesus met with them and talked with them and comforted them by his presence. They noticed, they said, did not our heart burn within us while he talked with us, by the way? Can I ask you something tonight? When's the last time your heart burned within you as you read the Word of God and spent time in prayer? Do you know that sometimes we think of the Christian life as being some difficult thing? Brethren, I said once before, the Christian life is not difficult. It's impossible without the Lord Jesus Christ. But can I tell you this? When we get alone with the Lord in His presence, and when He talks with us, by the way, I'm going to tell you something, it changes everything about us in our life. This past week, as I spent time daily in God's Word and in prayer, there was one morning in particular that I was reading the Bible and the Lord showed up. You know what it's like. And the Lord spoke to me, and it's almost like He pointed a verse out to me as I was reading the Bible. And that verse stayed with me throughout the whole day. And as I thought about it, I prayed about it. Lord, let that become a reality in my life. And God spoke to my heart. I can remember many times of getting alone with God in His Word, and my heart burning within me because the Lord opened the Scriptures to me. I can remember times being in prayer when it seemed as if the Lord was in the room with me. And can I tell you something? There is no comfort like the comfort of His presence. You know what? Jesus comforted these men with His presence. And I want you to remember this tonight. If you don't remember anything else, you know something? The Lord's presence makes life glorious. I could say it another way. The Lord's presence makes life worthwhile. His presence. And listen, tonight, what you and I need is the presence of a risen Savior. I love the picture of Jesus coming with these men. They're walking. They're discouraged. They're down. They're sad. They had hoped and trusted in Jesus. And Jesus shows up. And you know what He did to them? He helped them. He comforted them. You know what? Sometimes you and I think, Lord, you don't have time for my petty things. You don't have time for my little sorrow and heartaches. The devil wants us to think that. But you know what? To these men, Jesus ministered to these men. Jesus strengthened these men. Can I tell you this? Divine fellowship does not depend upon the merit of the disciples, but upon the grace of the Master. Well, I love the thought tonight that Jesus doesn't just come to those that are thought well of. You know, we would think maybe the President of the United States that, boy, he is an important man, and he is, and we should pray for him, and we thank God for him. But I'm going to tell you something. It doesn't matter your name. It doesn't matter your rank in society. It doesn't matter how important you think you are or are not. Brethren, divine fellowship, it does not depend on the merit of the disciple, but it depends upon the grace of our Master, that in His grace, He ministers to us. He is our friend. He is our divine companion. I think about the condition of these men, but the comfort of the risen Savior. He comforted them with His presence. Number two, He comforted them with the purpose of His death. Now, do you know something that changes our lives is when we understand by faith God's purposes. I can think back to many times in my life that maybe I've gone through something that I just didn't understand. And by the way, I couldn't wrap my understanding around that. You know what we need when we do not have understanding? We need the peace of God which passeth all what? understanding. You know what the peace of God does? The peace of God goes beyond our understanding and gives us assurance that God is going to work all things together for our good. Because you and I do the same thing. We think, Lord, I don't see how any good thing can come out of this. But that's what we think. We need the peace of God that goes beyond that. And these men did not understand really why Jesus had to die. You see, they never really grasped the need that Christ should die. Here's what he did to them. Boy, this is something amazing. And we read on here. Go to verse number 25 of Luke 24. Then he said unto them, O fools and slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have spoken. You know what Jesus did? I want to remind you of something. Do you not know that the prophets spoke that the Redeemer would come and have to bleed and die? Think about the prophet Isaiah. I'm sure Jesus reminded them of the prophet Isaiah. Look in verse 26. Ought not Christ to have suffered these things? Jesus is saying to them, do you not understand the purpose? The whole reason why I came was to bleed and die on the cross. And Jesus is reminding them of the purpose. And brethren, what God does in your life and in my life so often, we go through something and our condition gets like these men. The manner of our communications, we're walking and we are sad because we do not understand by faith the purpose of God. Now look, I've got some unsolved mysteries in my life. Do you? I have some things that I do not know to this day why the Lord allowed. I don't know. You know, people have told me before, well, just wait on that. God will show you in time. Well, I don't think that's true. But I do believe this. I do believe that Romans 8:28 is true for each and every one of us. And we know that all things work together for good. I don't know the understanding of all that, but God is working all things together for our good. You see, when these men saw the true meaning of the cross, their hearts began to burn within them because everything looked different. You know what we need tonight? We need to see our life and the circumstances of our life through the eyes of faith that God is behind each and every one of them. Look, tonight, God is working through the circumstances of your life. What's He doing? Bringing you to Himself. He is working. Look, one day, God's going to let us see all that God did. And we're going to look and say, boy, all the time the Lord was in control. All the time, God let that happen. God allowed that to come to pass. God was there. He was working. And now these men, they're comforted by the purpose of Christ's death. Number three, Christ comforted them with the power of His Word. I love this. Now here's something I want you to remember tonight. Think about this. This is so wonderful. Can you imagine standing there? Now they didn't have the Bible like we have God's Word and leather bound today. But can you imagine Jesus teaching them the Bible? For instance, once again, they heard of the Passover lamb, but Jesus showed them the meaning of it like no man had ever showed them the meaning of it. They heard of the brazen serpent lifted up in the wilderness, and Jesus showed them the meaning of look and live. They were reminded of the smitten shepherd in Zechariah and the suffering servant in Isaiah. And Jesus was teaching them the Word of God. And what does the Bible say? Back in verse number 32, and they said one to another, did not our heart burn within us? While He talked with us, by the way, and while He opened to us the Scriptures. I think that I would be a terrible pastor if when I preach, all you hear is my words and not the voice of the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, I don't want it to be that you come to church and say, boy, that was a good message. I want it to be, boy, God dealt with me and spoke to my heart. The pastor that I grew up under, Pastor Sexton, I'm going to tell you something. You know, when he would preach, it would draw me near to the Lord. I wanted to know more of God's Word through his preaching because God's Word is what changes our lives. It is what gives us direction. It is what gives us peace and wisdom. It is what gives us hope. It is what gives us joy. It is what gives us guidance for our life. And think of this. Jesus, the risen Savior, you know what he did? He went straight to the Scriptures. That's what he did. Brethren, one of the surest signs that the Lord is near to us and we are recognizing his presence is when the Bible becomes alive again. Can I ask you something tonight? Is God's Word a dead book to you? It's not a dead book because it is breathed by God. But can I tell you this? Sometimes it becomes dead to us, does it not? Sometimes we can read a passage and nothing happens in our heart and it's almost as if it's not alive to us. But could it be that we are not close to the Lord? Because when we are close to the Lord, He opens the Word of God to us. It is a living Christ who makes the living Scriptures. And here in this passage, Jesus opened to them the Scriptures. Brethren, do you know that the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God? That unsaved man cannot understand God's Word. That's why I believe, brethren, we must yield to the Lord. And the Spirit of God is the one who teaches us the truths of God's Word. He opened to them the Scripture. I cannot overstate the significance of the fact that the Lord's primary attention and concern when He rose from the dead was the Word of God. Think of that. He took them to God's Word. He became enthusiastic about the Word of God. And the Bible says, verse 27, and beginning at Moses and all the prophets, He expounded unto them in all the Scriptures the things concerning Himself. Look here. Real Bible knowledge is a knowledge of Jesus Christ. If you look through the Scriptures, and by the way, you can use the Word of God like a hammer to hammer on someone, or God's Word can be used as a sword. You know something? The thing about it that I have been amazed about as a pastor is so often as I'm yielding the sword of God's Word, it's double-edged. And as it goes to cut your heart, it cuts my heart too. It deals with you, but it deals with me. And brethren, if you just use God's Word as a hammer to beat someone over the head about something you want them to do, that's not the right way to use God's Word. By the way, if you use God's Word because you're mad at someone and you pull out a verse of Scripture and you use it to beat someone over the head, you have dishonored the Word of God. God's Word is about Jesus Christ. He revealed to them the Scriptures and expounded unto them all things concerning Himself. You see, He came up from the grave and He went straight to the Word of God. You see, He flooded it with the glory of His countenance. Can I ask you something tonight? What is the Bible to you? Are you its critic or are you its humble student? Tonight, I want to be the student of God's Word. I want to look up on the pages of Scriptures to see Jesus on each and every page. The Lord Jesus comforted them with the power of His Word. Brethren, when you and I sit alone with our Bible and we invite the companionship of Jesus Christ, He opens to us the Word of God. And by the way, notice that the Bible requires opening. It has to be opened. And only God can open it. You see, the Bible is a sealed book until Jesus opens it with His presence. And the secret of the exposition of God's Word is not our cleverness, but it's the illumining presence of Jesus Christ. You see, tonight, if you know Christ, He indwells you and He teaches you all things that you need to know about His Word. Number three tonight, and I want you to take your final reference, and let's go to Romans chapter number 6. Romans chapter number 6 in closing tonight. Not only do we see the condition of these men, we see the comfort of the risen Savior, but number three, we see the conquering of the resurrection. The resurrection, let's remember it tonight. It has power. It is what we need to live in, to live in the light of the risen Savior. Look here. If Jesus could rise from the grave, then, brethren, He can help us to rise above anything in our life that is hindering us. You see, we may think, well, that's great, Pastor. That's wonderful, the risen Savior. But, brethren, do you know something else? The risen Savior indwells you and me tonight that know Jesus Christ. By the way, don't turn there, but let me read it to you. Let's think about Peter. And by the way, think about the disciples after the resurrection. Where were they? Scared to death. They're hiding. They're defeated. They're discouraged. But something changes. I'll tell you what changes. God sends the Holy Spirit. Amen. In the book of Acts, the Spirit of God comes to indwell them and gives them power. And by the way, think about Peter. What did Peter do before Jesus died? He denied the Lord 3 times, did he not? In fact, on the 3rd time, he went back to his old sailor days and pulled up that old sailor curse language. And he cursed and said, "I know not the man." We might think, "Peter, what in the world happened to you?" Well, I'm going to tell you something. You go to 1 Peter. Do you know what the book of 1 Peter is about? It's about the book of the living hope. What happened to Peter? I mean, we see Peter later on in the book of Acts standing up and preaching, and thousands come to know Jesus Christ. I'll tell you what happened. The resurrection of Jesus Christ. Look in Romans chapter number 6. I want to show this to you. This is so powerful. Romans 6, verse number 1, the Bible says, "What shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? God forbid. How shall we that are dead to sin live any longer therein?" Now let me stop and explain to you the Word of God. We do not become sinless perfect or sinless perfection. That is not possible this side of heaven, because, brethren, if you know God's Word, just talk to the Apostle Paul. He'll tell you it's not possible. But, brethren, the power of sin, when Jesus rose from the grave, He gave us power over sin. That means this. We can still sin, yes, because we have the old man, but we don't have to obey it any longer. We can have victory. Why? Because of the resurrected Savior. Let's read on. Verse number 3. "Know ye not that so many of us as were baptized into Jesus Christ were baptized into His death? Therefore we are buried with Him by baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. For if we have been planted together in the likeness of His death, we shall be also in the likeness of His resurrection. Knowing this, that our old man is crucified with Him, that the body of sin might be destroyed, that henceforth we should not serve sin. For he that is dead is freed from sin. Now if we be dead with Christ, we believe that we shall also live with Him, knowing that Christ, being raised from the dead, dieth no more. Death hath no more dominion over Him. For in that he died into sin once, but in that he liveth unto God. Likewise," meaning on the same way, "reckon." He must have been from East Tennessee right there, all right? The word "reckon" means count it as true. "Reckon ye also yourselves to be dead indeed unto sin, but alive unto God through Jesus Christ our Lord. Let not sin therefore reign in your mortal body, that ye should obey it in the lust thereof." Here's the idea. Paul is telling us here, brethren, Jesus, when He died, He died to sin. Meaning this, He paid the penalty for our sin. He died to it. He conquered sin, death, hell, and the grave. When Jesus rose again, think about His resurrected body. Think about the power of His resurrection. We too, as we identify ourselves with Christ, we must count it as true. We must reckon that the resurrected Savior indwells us. And therefore, brethren, when Jesus died, we died. The power of sin died at that moment. We do not have to obey sin. Yes, we can still do it. The devil tempts us. The flesh tempts us. The world tempts us. We can yield to that temptation, and we are miserable and we are out of fellowship with God. But brethren, the victory of Jesus Christ indwells you and me. We have victory because the resurrected Savior indwells us. The power is there to live a victorious life. You know, it's kind of like, and I don't mean to be irreverent in any way, I'm trying to give you an example that I believe that the Bible gives us as example. You take a man that has passed on and gone to glory. He's in the coffin there. You know something? You go up to that man, you tell him how good he is, how great he is. Guess what? No pride will set in. You say, well, Pastor, he's dead. I understand that. You go up and criticize him. He won't become angry. He won't become bitter. Why? Because he's dead. Jesus said, in that same way, we can have victory over the sin in our life. We can have victory to live a life, what the Bible says, we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. You see, tonight, remember the resurrection. Remember the victory that we have in the Lord. Look here, I have spent too many days like those men on the road to Emmaus, walking and sad, discouraged, doubting God, doubting his promises. But brethren, we have a living hope tonight, and it's the hope of the resurrection of Jesus Christ that can sustain us and enable us to endure, and not just to endure, but to be more than conquerors through him that loved us. Look here, the Lord wants us to live in the light and in the power of his resurrection. I find it here in Romans chapter 6, that as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, the Bible, notice what it says, that even so we should walk. How? In newness of life. That's resurrection power. May God help us tonight. Let us remember the resurrection. Let us go to his word and let him talk to us and walk with us by the way. May God help us. Let's bow our heads in prayer.